Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature center paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies and Nature Folk. In tonight's encore from 2019, Reverend Selena Fox explores ways of attuning and communing with nature.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we launch this new podcast. Nature spirituality is a more universal term, not only for contemporary forms of nature religion, but for religious ways connected with nature that date back into the ancient past. On the show tonight, I will guide you in an exploration of nature spirituality, which I also have called Nature Wisdom Ways for many years. I invite you to honor nature where you are and in the larger world where you dwell, and nature beyond. People define spirituality and define nature in a variety of ways. For this podcast, nature is the natural realm, not only on planet Earth, within our solar system, but in the cosmos. Nature as a more universal term for the natural realms. Spirituality, I'm using as a term that covers a continuation of worldviews from religious and more structured to personalized spiritual paths to philosophical realms that might not necessarily be termed religious or even spiritual. So we range from the free-thinking to the deeply religious and the vast realm between this continuum. I've been using the term nature spirituality in this form for decades. And in more recent years, I have found this term to be a more inclusive term of the forms of working with nature and sacred, transpersonal, and humanistic ways as part of life and worldview. In my sharing of Nature Wisdom Ways tonight, I'm going to share some of my own experiences, my own research that's come from not only being part of the emerging field of pagan studies, but my research that's come from direct contact with nature spirituality practitioners, organizations, spiritual groups, networks, cyber convergences throughout the U.S. and other countries, as I have journeyed to international interreligious gatherings and conferences to speak and to facilitate ritual and to exchange ideas. Nature spirituality today has its roots in the earliest stirrings of humankind and worldviews with a sacred dimension. Yes, we can see nature spirituality as rooted back in the earliest times of humankind. Nature spirituality can be seen as a kind of world religion. There are practitioners throughout the United States and most, if not all, of the countries of planet Earth. And indeed, with nature spirituality practitioners being involved with NASA and the space program, there have been nature spirituality practitioners who have ventured off planet. Nature spirituality can be seen as a kind of folk religion, incorporating animistic worldviews and, in many cases, what might be called mystical or magical or a combination of magical and mystical practices. There are many different forms that nature spirituality today takes. Many people will use the term nature spirituality and contemporary paganism interchangeably. The word pagan, some say, comes from a root paganus dweller in the countryside, really looking at kind of the rural roots and connections. There has been some speculation about those origins, but that's a commonly conceptualized form of the word pagan. And contemporary paganism and nature spirituality has a variety of different pathways. Wicca, also known as the Wiccan religion, is a contemporary form of paganism rooted in Europe and the Mediterranean. It started taking form in its present way in the mid-20th century, but many people see that Wicca embodies some of the old folk religion practices that may also be known as witchcraft that goes back much further in time. As with other world religions, there are different forms that come into being. For example, in Christianity, you have Protestant Christianity, Roman Catholicism, and the Eastern Orthodox form of Christianity, and then a very large group of Christian paths that don't neatly fit in those other three categories. In similar ways, when we look at the Wiccan religion, we have Gardnerianism, the Alexandrian tradition, British traditional witchcraft. There's the fairy tradition. There are different forms of the Dianic tradition. I helped birth a form known as circlecraft. And these are just a few of the variants of Wicca, the Wiccan religion, and some people prefer to use the term witch and witchcraft for a worldview that may draw on some of the same ancient pagan components that Wicca does, but that extends beyond that. There's Druidism or Druidry, and different forms of this nature religion that comes out of the Celtic experience have emerged. OBOD or OBOD, ADF, RDNA, Celtria, the Druid Network. These are just a few of the forms of Druidism. And there are some Druids that are not connected specifically with one of the structured organizations and traditions of Druidry, where people are doing their own self-styled form of Druidry. And in like fashion, there are Wiccans and witches who have been influenced by some forms of contemporary paganism and ancient paganism as part of their nature spirituality practice, but they are not aligned or working within a particular structured tradition. Some of these people would be calling themselves eclectic. And some of the traditions, such as circle craft, actually are more universalistic and that draw on a number of different traditions in a particular structure. Another form of nature spirituality is sometimes known as heathenism or heathen ways. And there are different forms of this as well. Asatru, Odinism, sometimes the Northern Way, Scandinavian paganism, Germanic paganism. And here in heathen practices, there is a drawing on the old pagan folk traditions of Scandinavia and Northern Europe as part of developing pantheons and practices, naming holidays, and other ways of being. Wiccan and witch as one pathway, Druidism as another, heathenism as another. Those are three major forms of nature spirituality. People in those three forms vary according to how they personally interpret and practice. I see these three forms as all part of nature spirituality, but not everybody who may be practicing and identifying as a Wiccan, as a witch, as a druid, as a heathen would necessarily use the terminology nature spirituality for themselves. I also include under nature spirituality what I call ethnic survivals. These are pagan folk religions that continue to exist, that have roots that go way back, that are more rooted in the ancient past and less reconstructed. The indigenous religion of Scandinavia amongst the Sami people would be one example. And in Pakistan, there's the Kafir Kalash. And these people are practicing a form of spirituality that resonates with nature. And while Pakistan is a country that has a strong Muslim component, this particular group of people, many of whom have actually blue eyes, are said to have descended from the Greek pagans in Alexander the Great's army when it came to that part of the world and interconnected with the native population. So those are some examples where there's an ethnic component as well as a spiritual tradition that really goes back to older forms of paganism. Most of the ethnic forms of contemporary paganism are actually revivals. Some people actually prefer to use the term polytheist for their form of spirituality. Some of the strongest of the ethnic revivals are in the Baltic area, and certainly within Circle Sanctuary and our community over the years, we've had direct contact with people who have had Baltic heritage and that are part of keeping alive and reconstructing ancient Baltic religion. In fact, in our earliest days, Circle Sanctuary had a man who grew up in Latvia in the early part of the 20th century. And he was displaced as a result of World War II, came to America, was a known artist and actor back in Latvia, his native Latvia, and he had been in the United States for quite some time before we connected with each other in the 1970s. And we were the first people that he encountered that were celebrating the folk holidays that he grew up with. Indeed, the Pagan Spirit Gathering, which is the largest event that Circle Sanctuary sponsors every year, it's a week-long celebration of summer solstice. And central to our celebration is the kindling of a fire and keeping it burning throughout the course of our gathering, a tradition that we got from Carlos Berzins, whose magical name was Niels Holge. We also got from him the tradition of processing with candles and lights and torches into a sacred area and kindling the sacred fire. As a young man growing up in a village in rural Latvia, Midsummer, as it was called there, rather than summer solstice, or St. John's Eve, which was another way that that holiday came to be celebrated and conceptualized in Europe. It was a time of welcoming in the summer and kindling fires, singing songs, and having revels. And all of these traditions that he grew up with that were actually some ethnic survivals that now have been incorporated in ethnic revivals amongst those resurrecting the Baltic religion have become part of the more universalist nature spirituality that we practice at Pagan Spirit Gathering. Other ethnic revivals include that of Greek religions that date back to the ancient pagan Greek times, both Olympian and pre-Olympian. There's Roman paganism, Egyptian paganism, Celtic Reconstructionism, Slavic paganism, Mesopotamian paganism, and many others. Each of these ethnic revivals incorporate some contemporary practices as well as are working with divine forms, most of which have some connections with one or more sacred nature dimensions as part of the practices. Another path of nature spirituality that I have identified and have talked about is what I call the blended path. Unitarian Universalist paganism is one of the prominent blending of paths in which the Unitarian Universalist form of religion and philosophy has woven together with pagan practices to be UU paganism. Another blend is often called Christopaganism, which is incorporating Christianity, some of its teachings and practices, and also blending that with paganism. The Hermetic tradition, which some people use as a more universalist term for different paths of ceremonial magic, which do draw on some roots that go back to medieval Europe and related areas where there may be Jewish Kabbalic practices, Christian mysticism, Egyptian paganism that are intertwined. And indeed, during what's known as the Victorian era in the 1800s, in many places in Europe and some other parts of the world, there was a strong revival of Hermetic traditions. And many of the ceremonial magical orders have roots in that way of being. Another path is known as eco-spirituality. Now, this sometimes is used interchangeably with the name nature spirituality. I'm using it for definition purposes to more specifically look at environmentally focused forms of nature spirituality, and a term that might be used interchangeably with earth-centered religion, nature-centered or nature-based religion, dark green religion or green religion, ecofeminism. And there are people who may identify with eco-spirituality that wouldn't necessarily also embrace the term paganism. But when you look at the actual practices, you see much in common. Another category that I'd like to speak about is something known as the nature mystic path. Nature mysticism is something that is quite old, and in some ways it transcends the conceptualization of religion and spirituality and philosophy. Indeed, many forms of mystical practice go between the worlds, go into those nexus points, are fluid. And the idea of being a nature mystic is something that may be found in a variety of world religions and other philosophies. I see it as a form of nature spirituality where the emphasis is on connecting with nature in an immanent as well as transcendent way. And I myself have had nature mysticism as a strong part of my spiritual life since childhood and even before I started identifying with contemporary paganism and the craft. So there are different pathways, different forms of nature spirituality, and these are some broad categories. There are some beliefs that can be common ground across many of these paths. However, before going into some of these beliefs that are common amongst nature spirituality practitioners, I want to say that I do not claim to speak for all nature spirituality practitioners, that indeed there is individual difference and path difference, tradition, protocols, and connections. And so some of the things that I will share may be part of most of these traditions, but there may be people who aren't connecting with all of these or only partially connecting with these. Nature spirituality I define as honoring the divine through nature. And indeed, for the sake of looking at nature wisdom ways tonight, that is something that I see as really central. Different forms of nature spirituality, especially in contemporary times, may place a greater or lesser emphasis on that immersion, attunement, and honoring of the natural world. For some, it is implied, it's embedded. For others, there are specific practices that encourage and develop those connections with the divine, with divinities and sacred forms through nature communion. The idea of the interconnectedness of all things, the great universal, we are all part of a whole, and that whole being nature, nature with a capital N. An emphasis on direct encounter, direct experience, direct knowledge of the sacred. The divine is indwelling, immanent, and the divine as transcendent. And certainly there are paths in which immanence is more emphasized or totally emphasized, and others where transcendent is the main focus or the only focus. Though many paths will acknowledge both an immanent and a transcendent component of the divine. The idea that the divine can have multiple forms, and this is the polytheistic dynamic. The idea of the divine as including sacred feminine, including sacred masculine, including forms that are both or neither, or all of the above. Another belief is the idea that ancestors are part of life and community. Respect for the dead, the idea of honoring ancestors as being an important component, the idea of spirit and connection across time into the past, but also going into the future. The conceptualization of looking ahead to see how we live our lives individually and collectively, and what impact that will have on present and future generations. The belief in reincarnation, the idea that energy, life, soul, spirit continues on after death, and indeed can reemerge in different forms. The idea of an afterlife. And depending on the nature spirituality tradition, it might be called the summer land, the land of eternal summer, or Tir na n'Og, that's a Celtic concept for the land of eternal youth, or the other world. So the afterlife can take different forms and may be called in different ways, But the idea that we are also connected beyond the here and now. Another important belief is looking at the importance of balance, of harmony, of truth, responsibility, love, service, generosity, values that are common not only across different nature spirituality paths, but you will find in other world religions. And related to that are ethics. And how the ethics are stated can vary from path to path. The Wiccan Reed, which most Wiccan practitioners embrace, and it harm none, do what you will, has its roots in the Hippocratic Oath that comes from ancient Greece, to do no harm. Another important value and ethic that has its roots in the ancient pagan past is all things in balance. And know yourself, or know thyself. And indeed, the Greek mystery traditions had those mottos as foundational. Amongst those involved in heathen ways, there may be a configuration of ethics in the form of nine noble virtues. So what form the ethics and values take may have different configurations and names, but the idea is that there is some kind of foundational principle that guides living responsibly, not only in harmony and in good relation with other humans, but looking at that larger circle of nature here on planet Earth as well as beyond. Nature wisdom ways and spiritual practice can take a variety of forms. Daily practice, this may range from taking a few moments to greet the rising sun in the morning, or doing a more in-depth greet the day ceremony, a greet the night ceremony, doing blessings before consuming food and drink, doing offerings, prayers, giving thanks, doing study of spiritual concepts and perspectives, doing divination, seeking guidance for living life in the here and now, as well as insights in the past, the future, as well as the present. Another form of spiritual practices that are likely present in nature spirituality paths include seasonal rites, rites that celebrate the seasons. In contemporary paganism, what has evolved is the celebration of eight Sabbaths, seasonal holidays, the solstices and the equinoxes, which are important components of heathen paths, and the midpoints of each season, also known as the Celtic Fire Festivals, which have their roots in ancient Celtic practices with pagan ways. So contemporary paganism has this Wheel of the Year with another celebration every 6.5 to 7 weeks. The Wheel of the Year, the 8 Sabbaths, welcoming the beginning of each season and celebrating the midpoint of each season. In some traditions, there is a narrative often centered on one or more forms of divinity and how there is interaction, growth, and change during the course of the Wheel of the Year. Other forms of nature spirituality take a different form, may have less of a narrative of particular sacred forms as they grow and change throughout the year, may be more focused on particular themes and concepts connected with how that season manifests in a local area. The seasonal rites are part of a solar cycle. Many forms of nature spirituality paths also have ceremonies that are connected with the lunar cycle. In some cases, it centers on new moon and full moon. In other cases, there are ceremonies for each phase of the moon: new moon, waxing moon, full moon, waning moon. Some practitioners also practice the dark moon, which is a form of new moon right before the lunar cycle starts again, where the moon is not physically visible in the sky because it's rising and setting at the same time that the sun is. But it's very much a time of transition and transformation. In addition to cycles of the sun daily and with the 8 Sabbaths, the cycles of the moon, 12 to 13 each year, there is, as part of spiritual practices across most nature spirituality traditions, the cycles of life, human life, life passage ceremonies, pregnancy, birth, naming, the passing into young adulthood, marriage, sometimes known as hand fasting, pagan weddings, and a correlate to that, when a marriage does not work out, yes, in many traditions, their hand parting, their divorce ceremonies. As one moves into the senior years, there may be a croning ceremony for women who have reached menopause, a saging ceremony for men who are moving into their senior years, and in more recent years, I have used the term senioring as a life passage ceremony, not only a way of having that go beyond gender, but as a way of being more universalistic. And then at the very end of life, crossing over ceremonies, preparing the body after death, if one is part of a tradition that does home funerals, memorials, funerals, burials, scattering of ashes, burying of ashes. So going from birth to death, the whole cycle of birth, life, growth, death, and rebirth. Some other spiritual practices that may be present in the nature spirituality path has to do with deep spiritual transformation. It may be a spontaneous initiation that comes by working within a particular tradition initiated by divinities or by the power of a tradition. Or what's more common the case is that as one affiliates with an initiatory tradition of nature spirituality, that there is an initiation rite. Healing ceremonies, cleansing away illness and bringing in renewal, comfort, wellness. Home blessing rituals. Some do home blessing rites when they move to a new place, and it also involves not only the physical structure at the place, but working in an environmental way with the land where the home is located and the surrounding area. And those are just some of the kinds of spiritual practices and rituals that you may encounter with people who are involved with one or more forms of nature spirituality. Something else to be aware of are some of the symbols that are used by nature spirituality practitioners. Indeed, these emblems are increasingly being visible in the forms of jewelry, embroidery, artwork. Some people who are involved in tattooing may use them in that way. One of the most common is the pinnacle, the five-pointed star interlaced and surrounded by a circle. And the pinnacle has its roots back in ancient Greek pagan ways. The Pythagoreans used the pinnacle as a symbol of wellness and connected it with the goddess of health, also known as Hygieia, who gives hygiene her name. Some people who are more universalist pagans will use the pinnacle as their symbol. And indeed, it represents earth, air, fire, water, spirit, the five elements of nature. And the circle is another symbol that is widespread amongst nature spirituality practitioners. There's no beginning, there's no end. It represents not only cycles, but interconnectedness, the being together in a circle. And indeed, many nature spirituality practitioners will stand in circles and see each other in that configuration and experience themselves as a circle within larger circles, the circle of nature in the area where the ceremony is taking place, a circle that extends around the planet, the community of life that extends into the cosmos. Pagans who are rooted in Hermetic traditions, Kemetic traditions, Egyptian reconstructionism, may use the Ankh, a symbol of life. You will find that in survivals of ancient Egyptian artwork, not only in statuary, where the Ankh actually takes the form in some cases as a kind of ritual tool that is held in the hand of a divinity or a pharaoh or other key person in society. And you'll find the Ankh on temple walls and in some of the grave sites. So it represents life. The Thor's hammer, Mjolnir, is a symbol that many heathens use. And Thor's hammers take a variety of forms. One of the ones I have was based on an ancient Swedish Viking design. I got it many, many years ago. Some of my own heritage is Swedish, and so it's a way of honoring that part of my ancestry. The Awen, three rays, and in some forms there are also three dots that are above each of the three rays. The Awen is used by many forms of druids. The triple moon, waxing, full, and waning, is a symbol that's used by some Wiccans and other pagans, and it represents the lunar cycle. Some people may use a sun image, especially those that are more solar-oriented. The spiral is another important symbol, and it's what I call circle in motion. And indeed, there's different forms of sacred dances that are done as part of nature spirituality practice, and the spiral dance is one of those forms in which the leader will start moving a circle of people into a more spiral form and will start spiraling inward, and then once all the way inward, we'll reverse the process and start spiraling outward. Indeed, the spiral is a symbol that has shown up in many types of sacred sites, and one of those ancient pagan sites from the past is Newgrange in Ireland. The eight-spoked wheel, sometimes called the symbol of the wheel of the year, and it typically is encircled. And there are Buddhist traditions that also have an eight-spoke wheel, but it has different significances. With the eight-spoke wheel used by pagans, it is representing the solstices, the equinoxes, and the midpoints between literally the wheel of the year. Nature spirituality is something that many people practice without necessarily even calling it that. Indeed, those who love going on nature walks that come across a vista which is awe-inspiring have a nature mystical moment, and in so doing, moves from a more human-centric form of consciousness into an immersion with the greater circle of nature of which we are all part. How to go about learning more about nature spirituality? I'd like to conclude tonight's episode of Nature Wisdom Ways with this new Nature Spirituality podcast by sharing some ways that you might find it helpful to begin this path, or if you've been on the path, be it even a short time or a very long time, you can intensify and deepen your awareness and information and education. Be able to train yourself to pay attention to the environment. Spend some time outdoors. And this works whether you are in a very rural environment, such as where I make my home. I live in a forest in south central and southwestern Wisconsin, in an area known as the Driftless Area, because there had been no glacial drift. And yes, I can commune with nature because I'm in a forest, and literally it's all around me. But you can commune with nature in the innermost part of a city, even with concrete and glass and steel and asphalt pavement around. You're still in nature. You're in human habitats, human-created environments, but you are still part of the natural world, connecting with land, the earth, the air that we breathe, the air, the energy forms, the sun, electricity, the fire, emotions, waters, the water, and spirit, that interconnecting force that is at the heart of nature, capital N. So in terms of resources, spend some time outdoors if possible, or if there's some kind of weather situation going on where it's not safe to be outside for much, if any, time, then find a way to gaze out the window or to immerse yourself in a nature scene through some form of cyber experience. Spend time every day attuning to the divine and experiencing oneself as part of a much larger community of life in the natural world. Doing reading about nature spirituality, one or more paths or traditions, doing other forms of education, be it online training, viewing videos, listening to podcasts such as this one, having conversations, continue to learn and to grow. Have some place in your home environment. It could be a home altar, a household shrine. It might be a circle in the neighborhood or a special tree, to have some place that you work with as part of spiritual practice, to associate that place with focusing your awareness on spirituality. Having gratitude, giving thanks, completing the circle of not only receiving, but giving. Learning about your own ancestry and folk customs and traditions and images that may have been part of the life of your ancestors. Finding ways to incorporate some old customs into contemporary life. Finding a way to be in community. If you are in an area where you do not know any others who are involved in one or more forms of nature spirituality, the next step is to connect in cyberspace. There's certainly online communities via various social media forms. If you are able to go to a nature spirituality event, such as a pagan festival, a pagan Pride Day, to be able to have face-to-face contact that way. Take part in webinars and online events as they happen, or be able to view them through the wonders of cyberspace, through photographs and videos and audios. Being able to be appreciative of nature, aware of nature, and to experience oneself celebrating nature, that takes you to the heart of nature spirituality. I'd like to conclude with a chant that I adapted from a chant that I created years ago for the Goddess 2000 project. Nature is above us. Nature is below us. Nature is before us. Nature is behind us. Nature is around us. Nature is within us. Nature is within us. Nature is all around us. And this particular chant can have hand gestures associated with them. And the doing of this chant, stretching hands above, for the above part, below, for below, stretching them out in front of you, for before, behind you, for behind, moving your hands around your whole body area for all around, and then having your hands to your heart or to your solar plexus, making contact with what appreciates and seems to be your core self. And in doing this chant, it can bring to your awareness that interconnectedness of all things, as well as enhancing your celebration of nature. Thank you all for listening to Nature Wisdom Ways, an episode that's part of my new podcast, Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. Do you have comments about this show? Topics you would like covered in future shows? Other feedback? I invite you to post under the video for this show on my main Facebook page, Selena Fox Updates. If you prefer, you can send it to me by tweet at Selena_Fox, or through a message via Instagram, Selena Fox. Or if you prefer, an email, Selena@CircleSanctuary.org. I welcome your feedback and your ideas as I move ahead to develop this new podcast. Thank you to nature as a whole and nature in many forms. I give thanks for the different forms of contemporary paganism and nature spirituality, as well as the ancient forms that continue to inspire. I give thanks to everybody listening live and listening later. I give thanks to our engineering and CSNP team, David and Jeanette Ewing, Deborah Rose, Laura Gonzalez, Casey Pope, who helps us also with social media. I give thanks and wish everyone good connections with nature. CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, is an internet radio network operated by Circle Sanctuary. Find out more about us on the web, www.circlesanctuary.org. We have a variety of shows each month. Some are weekly, such as Nature Spirituality on Wednesday nights, which I do, and my encore show, Nature Mystic, on late Sunday afternoons. Like us on Facebook at CSN Podcast and find out about the schedule for upcoming shows on the web and at our Facebook page. For more information about Circle Sanctuary, you can email us, circle@circlesanctuary.org. Find us on Facebook, Circle Sanctuary Community. Find us on Instagram, Circle Sanctuary, as well as Twitter. And you can email us, circle@circlesanctuary.org. This is Selena Fox. You've been listening to Nature Spirituality. Have a wonderful connection with nature, for we are part of nature, and nature informs us, can inspire us, and transform us. May we live in harmony and peace, love, and well-being with other humans and the greater circle of nature of which we are a part. So be it. People are returning to the ancient ways. Enjoy this music as we conclude our podcast tonight. Thanks again. Many blessings.
you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.